I want to talk about something entirely different and out of our immediate control today in the short time I have in the sermonette. I'm going to talk about black holes. Now, it just happened that the other day, Suzanne and I had the opportunity, privilege, to visit somebody that was a docent at the Palomar Observatory. That's Lance McCartney. And he was willing and ready. He wanted to talk about black holes, but I'm not going to talk about those very much. I just want to use that as an intro. I want to talk about one aspect, one singular aspect about black holes. That's all I really have time for in this sermonette. They had a special on PBS the other night, though. Way beyond me, over my head, but it's a good special. They're real. Black holes are real. 50 years ago, it was speculative. Now they are pretty sure that these things exist. So, what are black holes? I mean, just in general, you know, I can't get into it very deeply. But black holes are collapsed stars. And why did God build stars? Well, they look nice in the night sky. You know, you look up there at the night sky and they're beautiful, right? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. You know, they're really nice. And in the old days, sailors used them for navigation. Why? Because they don't move. They're there, and they're there. They're not there during the day. Well, they are there during the daytime, but you just can't see them. But sailors can use them celestial navigation. Pilots use them for navigation. Yeah? But black holes, that word was speculative until, you know, Palomar and some of the other observatories went, no, I think that they're real. Why was it speculative? What was the problem with just looking up and seeing a black hole? You can't see them, they're black. The sky's black, you know? They're not there. But, and here's the point, I want to make this point very clear, they exert a tremendous amount of gravity. You know, the reason why we're standing or sitting here is because the Earth exerts gravity. If it didn't exert any gravity, you would all float away, you know, like the astronauts that you've seen. There is no more strong gravitational pull in the universe that God created than a black hole. It sucks everything into it within its sphere of influence. Title of this sermonette is, Don't you become a black hole. Now, what in the world is this going to be about? Can you become a black hole? Well, a metaphoric black hole. You can become a metaphoric black hole. And if you do, it's bad. It would be bad. Let's go to our first scripture, John 9:5. Go to John 9:5. Let's see what Jesus said in John 9:5. John 9:5. Now, Jesus said he was the light of the world, but let's read it. Let's read it right out of our Bibles, John 9:5. Jesus said, while I am in the world, he meant on the earth that you and I all inhabit, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And right away, I hope you see a contrast between Jesus and a black hole. Jesus is the light of the world. Black holes are dark. And when I say dark, please Somebody misunderstood when I was talking to him. I didn't mean black in the color. I meant black in the fact that even though there's a nuclear reaction going on, what happens? Our sun, nuclear reactions going on. What is it, 8 minutes later? 8 minutes later from that nuclear reaction, we can feel the sunlight and the heat. In a black hole, the nuclear reaction's going on, but their gravity is so intense that it immediately sucks it back in. It goes nowhere. It does no one any good. And like the Space Patrol program that I used to watch, nothing can escape from a black hole. Nothing. Totally impossible if you're within the range to get out of a black hole's influence. It's not the color black, it's the strength. And I don't think any of us doubt that Jesus is the light of the world. I don't think we doubt that. But do we really see him that way? I mean, in our mind's eye. Can you think of seeing Jesus as the brightest light that you've ever seen? And all the experiences of the people in the Bible, when they actually saw a physical representation of this God being, they covered themselves. They fell on their face. You know, they went away from it. It was so bright. It was going to burn them, they thought, you know. So do you really know that? That Jesus is the light of the world? Turn to Matthew 5. Let's read something else. In Matthew 5, as we all know, this is called the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, maybe it was a sermon. Maybe it was on a mount. But if it was a sermon, who was it directed to? And why was it given? You know, we think of sermons. Oh, this guy's going to give a sermon today. You know, let's go to church. You're going to hear a sermon. That's not what it was at all. Who was it for? Who was that sermon for? It was for 12 dudes, his close friends, the ones that were going to be sent into the world with a particular job to fulfill. Okay, let's start Matthew 5, verse 1. Now look at this. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside, kind of like where we live, Cow's Mountain, and he sat down. It wasn't a giant mountain. You know, there aren't any giant mountains in Jerusalem. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. It wasn't a sermon to, you know, everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that lived in Jerusalem. He was giving marching orders to 12 people that he wanted to explain to the few people that humans could bump into what Jesus was all about and what he was doing. Now, we're Jesus' disciples. We. I'm Jesus' disciple. We should be ready to see and absorb the light of the world. Because you know what? We don't shine ourselves. Well, sometimes when I sit in the sun, my head, you know, I get sunburned and I shine a little bit. But not ordinarily. We shine by reflected light. We shine by the reflected light of our Savior, Jesus. We do. You know, I can see you don't really believe that. Let's skip down to verse 14. Skip down to 14. Because Jesus says here, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand where it can give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, now I want to emphasize some of these words. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, do people see our good works? You know, it's a good question. It's a literally good question. Do people look at us, you know, everyday people, you know, do they see us doing anything? Well, I know I do a lot less now than I used to, you know. But every once in a while, we bump into other people, and do they run away from us when we bump into them? I hope we have good works. And Jesus said, if you and I let our light, our good works, the little ones that we do, if we let our light shine, then those seeing that light will glorify who? Us? No. Scripture says they will glorify God the Father. Now, if they don't, that's their problem. That's their problem if they don't give God the glory. But our good works should be visible to other people. Remember, the scriptures in Matthew 5 are really for the called and chosen members of God's family. But brethren, we are those called and chosen. We are the called and chosen members of God's family. Therefore, Matthew 5 is really for us. But again, you're going to have to go to Matthew 5 and read the whole thing. Matthew 5 is jam-packed. I mean, it's a sermon in itself, and I don't have time to go through it. But every time I read it, I think, that's pretty understandable. Still, I do have time to drop down to Matthew 5, verse 43. So just go all the way down to 43, where it ties into how I started. Matthew 5, 43. And in my Bible, it says, the love for enemies is the heading here. In my Bible, it may not be the heading in yours. So anyway, Matthew 5, 43. You have heard, Jesus is saying to his 12 special ones, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. 45, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, because he causes his son. Now, I want to emphasize something here. Let's stop here and think about black holes. They admit no light to anybody. What are they good for? What's a black hole good for? It's a good place to keep stuff you don't want to get loose. Because nothing can get out of a black hole. They emit no light at all, but God spreads light to everyone, both those who we would call good and those who we would call bad. So continuing in that verse, God causes his light to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? This is Jesus speaking, so we need to listen. Are not even the tax collectors, I love that word, tax collectors. Those guys got a bad rap back then in Jesus' day, they got a bad rap now. You know, if you're a tax collector, I know tax collectors, some of them really nice. But anyway, if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? You know, that word is not quite the same in all the translations, but I like that. Don't pagans like their friends? And verse 48 says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Brethren, God does not want us to be black holes. God, both Father and Son, they want us to be shining lights. And if we notice, Jesus even said, this always has boggled my mind. Jesus even said to be as perfect as your heavenly Father. Is that even possible? Every time I read that, I've been reading that thing for a long time. Every time I read it, is that even possible? And the answer is yes, it is. It is possible. So, last couple of scriptures. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, really long psalm. Psalm of longest. Psalm 119, verse 105. 119, 105. Your lamp. The psalmist is talking about God's word is a lamp to my feet. And we have it. We have God's word. It's a lamp to our feet. It is a light on my path or your path. We need to be completely at ease with and live with God's word, because that's light. And then Psalm 18, verse 28, last scripture. Psalm 18, verse 28. 18, 28. You have to go back toward the beginning of Psalms, where the psalmist says, "You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God, turn my darkness." And we all are darkness without God's word. We are dark without God's word. Turn my darkness into light. You see this? It's by reading and immersing ourselves in God's word and practicing God's word that our light, which is really, when you get down to it, it's really God's light, that'll become visible. Brethren, let us shine on. Do not become a black hole.